What's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show. We're welcoming in new and returning audience members. We've got a lot of loyal audience members that Chad, Lefty, and I met at the National this past week, and we're back in our normal setups here. And then we've got a lot of new people coming into the show. So we welcome new members of the nooffseason.com Sports Card Strategy Show family. Chad, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. I'm still on cloud nine from last week. That was a ton of fun.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. We had like hundreds of people stopping by our booth. We cracked more than 100 slabs. It looked and felt like several hundred. And then when I went back through the numbers, it was like just over 100, but I mean like two full tubs of slabs and 100% success rate. We didn't mess up anyone's card or anyone's item. And we cracked a lot of stuff that I don't think we expected to crack, like really expensive tickets and really expensive cards. And we got a lot of interesting data from the audience and from the attendees of the National in terms of like why they wanted to crack the item that they wanted to crack. And then we did a little analysis of like the breakdown of different slabs, right? So we can get into that in a second. But I mean, I feel like we could talk about the National like forever. And I will say that we have a ridiculous amount of content backlogged right now from the National. So we're gonna be dropping like probably more bonus episodes than ever over the next like week. Just because all the people that we talk to and all the great content that we have, photos and everything like that. So Chad, actually, I want to give a little shout out to the people that you and I worked with over the last week real quick. The interns, Alan, Harry from Chicago, John, Dave, shout out to them. Tim Larson, of course, from Signs of the Times Collectibles. You are not what you say about yourself, Tim. You do not suck. Okay. You do not suck. You're a really good guy. And we all had a blast. And of course you and Lefty, Chad, of course you and Lefty like stepped up huge. And just thank you to everybody who stopped by the booth. And if you weren't there, I know we've got a lot of people in the comments here that weren't there. Rocky Empire Sports Cards, good morning to you. Lonnie Conley's got some good stuff. He's shot over to me in terms of some sports card strategy. Janelle Hsu, good to see you. I wonder, Janelle, do you have a relative who was at the National? I wonder, because I met somebody with the last name Hsu who is a super knowledgeable, I want to say it's Mike. But anyway, Mike was at the National and super knowledgeable about cards. I'm always learning from our audience as much as I feel like it's a two-way thing between Chad, Lefty, and I and the audience, and the three of us are always learning from the audience too. Somebody asked me, there was like a picture of somebody, I was showing somebody at the National, and they go, is that SSI? And I was like, no, SSI couldn't make it to the National. That's so-and-so, you know? So what's up, SSI? Hope you're doing well, man. The cool thing about our show is like our audience has fans, like SSI has fans and wondering. We met Brian Steeler 714. He was by the booth. Cleo Cards is in the house right now. Good to see you. So Cleo Cards is in Cleveland. That's awesome. Says, can't wait till next year when it's in my backyard. Okay. Lonnie Conley says, this is cool. I only listen to three podcasts, Sports Card Strategy Show, The Call Up, and Slab Stocks. The show that dropped last evening with Aram was a grand slam. What's up, Lefty? So you're coming in, Lefty, just as we're getting this, phenomenal comment from Lonnie Conley. You see it here on your screen. I thought it was amazing that you and I got to talk, like Aram, we talk to him a lot, but we don't get a chance to have him on the show ever. So I think that, you know, Lonnie's just basically saying it was a good show. I felt like Just Baseball and Sports Card Strategy Show, for a lot of reasons. One obvious one is you, Lefty. They're kind of an extension of one another to a certain extent. I mean, Just Baseball obviously gets into some of the collectibles, but not that much. And it's really like, I think high end, like premier baseball scouting, prospecting, analysis, you know, fantasy, minor leagues, you know, major leagues, rankings, analysis. And then we've kind of become like the extension of the card side. So that's cool that Lonnie said that. Evan Bell in the house. Good to see you. It's good to be back live. So this is kind of fun. It's like last week was a high, and then like this show coming off last week with everybody that we get to talk to in the audience here, that some of them were there, some of them weren't there. Evan Bell, good to see you. Paul Schmitz, Buck Idyll was there. We mentioned Brian Steeler 714. It was great to meet you too, Paul, by the way. You're a great guy. Great to see you. Brian Steeler 714, lefty. This card is for you, by the way. This is from Brian Steeler 714. So I'm going to mail it to you today. You'd stop by the booth and have that for you as a gift. So,
lefty. How's my mic, first off?
Sounded good, brother. Sounded good. Right. Yeah.
We went so hard at the National guys that my mic just broke.
Card vibe. Yeah, Lefty's mic broke because he was just like so critical of me and Kenny Pickett and like all my calls that like it broke his mic. So it's karma, I think. Card vibe. Love the Tim Duncan prism, gold prism in the profile pic. Picked up some fire. Good for you. Good to meet you. Hopefully we met at the National. We know everyone like at the National, we know their first and last name. And then not their handle. And then what was funny is like a lot of people, we only knew their handle. And then we learned their first name, first and last name. Cleo means Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. I didn't pick up on that. Got it. Buffalo Boone, a new name. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the nooffseason.com family. We'll figure out a way to crack your slab. We'll definitely figure out a way to crack your slab. Okay. Before we get into L&W of the week and our normal show segment, there's a question I want to ask you guys, and I'm gonna ask it to you. And then while you are thinking of the answer and what you want to say, I'm going to go through and talk about Graybows and nooffseason.com and market movers. So the question is, are you like, so one of the, I'll give you a little context behind where I'm coming from with my question. So like some people get starstruck by seeing celebrities and others don't. And sometimes it depends on the celebrity, right? Like it depends, like if you're a fan of the actor or actress, or if you're, you know, like maybe it's a celebrity chef, like whatever. And then what I've noticed getting into this hobby with all of you over the last few years is that a lot of people get starstruck by cards. Like someone else's card like really makes somebody freak out, right? And like we had some beautiful stuff that we saw, and especially at Tim's booth, Tim Larson's booth. Like he had a Shohei Ohtani Topps Inception 2018, like beautiful patch auto, and it was out of 10. And so that card was, I mean, I don't even know, like you could pay off a lot of the remaining part of my mortgage with that card. But I mean, it was just sick to look at, and like I got to hold it, and like so actually I'm not going to give you my answer yet. I'll let you guys answer first. But like the question is, do you get starstruck by people or by cards or by both? And what I'm kind of getting at is here is like I want to know, like an audience, I'd like you to answer too, even if you're not catching it live and you want to drop a comment on YouTube or DM me on at Instagram at Sports Card Strategy. I want to know, like, do you get starstruck by the athlete, seeing them in person, by a really nice card, or have you ever been starstruck by a card? I'd like to know. So anyway, I'm interested in that. All right. So Graybows Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybows sports the best selection of wax and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic. Listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show can receive a 10% discount on any purchase at graybows.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Graybows now breaks on the Drip app 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling. If you use the link in their IG bio at graybows_cards, you can get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Instagram, graybows_cards. Again, Graybows.co. I think that's the best place to go if you want to buy from them and you're not at their location in Richmond, Virginia. Get 10% off using the promo code STRATEGY2023. Get unlimited personalized advice at nooffseason.com to build your sports card investment portfolio. We really want to help you. All three of us and the rest of our analysts want to help you make the right decisions. You can just get a free 30-day trial now at nooffseason.com. If you're yearning for more sports card strategy content. That's where you want to get it. And then we get all of our data. Everything we talk about from a data perspective, both on the show and on the website, is from Market Movers. So our friends at Market Movers and Sports Card Investor are allowing you, listeners of Sports Card Strategy Show, to get 20% off for life. After a free 14-day trial, use the coupon code NOOFFSEASON to get that done. And so, all right, guys. So here's kind of what I was thinking, right? Like, this is what made me think of it. On Thursday of the National, Lefty came, like, Lefty and I were there setting up with the crew. And he came back from the restroom at, like, I don't know, 8:45 a.m. And he's like, oh, Derek Jeter's over there. And I'm like, oh, that's sick. Like, Derek Jeter's over there. Like, I'm like, oh, he must be at Arena Club because, you know, he's like a partner in Arena Club. He's like, yeah, he's a, because Arena Club is right by our booth. And so I'm like, then like Tim Larson, who doesn't suck, traded his Shohei Ohtani that I mentioned for this Derek Jeter card. The one of one, Logo Man, I think it's an on-card auto, Topps Dynasty, game used memorabilia Logo Man. And so it got me thinking on the plane, on the way back, I'm like, people get starstruck by cards like this. Like they want to, they, it really, and I see why, but like Lefty, are you ever starstruck? Have you ever been starstruck by a card?
Yeah, I have. I think the first time, not this year, but last year, they were auctioning off the big Mickey Mantle at the PWCC vault, I believe. And I remember I walked over there and saw the PSA 10 Mickey Mantle 52. And I would say that's as starstruck as I've been in terms of cards. When you look at that and realize the rarity of what's going on and how cool that is. I was blown away by seeing it in person to realize that, oh, this is a real thing. It's not just online or a picture or whatever. This is a tangible piece of cardboard. That was pretty sweet. I don't normally get starstruck by people, more because of this right here where Rocky Empire is talking about zero facial recognition. Yeah. I have that a little bit. Like, I was actually surprised that I recognized Derek Jeter when I saw him in person.
That's funny.
Because, like, when I see him online, I'm like, oh, that's Derek Jeter. Or when I see him on cards or whatever. But it doesn't register to me when I see somebody in real life, because my first thought is, oh, did I go to school with that person? You know, like, you just realize, you're like, oh, I recognize that person. So I must have known them growing up.
Wilkins. Did I go to school with him, or is that Dominique Wilkins?
Right. I mean, it's a lot
easier. Maybe you're
not
that bad, but.
No, it's really not that bad. But there is some element of that in what I do as well. When you talk about starstruckness, you know, people were like, did you go meet Jeter? Did you go take a picture of him? And I was like, yeah. Well, I took a picture of him from about 10 feet away, but no, I didn't
just
want
so
to stand there.
Prove to Paul that he was standing over there.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like I needed to meet him. I was just like, oh, cool. It's Derek Jeter.
Yeah. But like, that's cool. And that's what the National, what's really unique about the National is, like, versus other card shows, right? Cause like a lot of other awesome card shows have like all the big players from the card industry, but you know, the National's got Kareem, it's got Barry Sanders, it's got Derek Jeter, it's got, you know, some of these big names. My guy Gary V, shout out to Gary V. Yeah.
Honestly, I was more starstruck by Chad in person. Wanted to meeting Dr. Crack in person for the first time was a big one for me, boys.
Yeah, Cleo Cards was kind of starstruck at a younger age by the 52 Mantle and the T206 Honus Wagner. And I was more starstruck by Chad Gill. And I was actually starstruck by Brian Steeler 714. I don't know if you saw my reaction, Lefty, to meeting him, but he came up and was like, hey, and I'd never seen him. I've never seen a profile. Chad's light. There it is. Never seen a profile pic. Had no idea Brian Steeler 714. And he was wearing Steelers gear, and I was like, Brian Steeler 714. Anyway, meeting the audience gets me a little bit starstruck. But Chad, what do you, are you starstruck by cards, Chad?
You know, I was 20 years ago. I know as I get older and I've met more people and seen more cards, I'm not anymore. But I used to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. I think like my first time back from Spain when I was really getting big back into the hobby, and I used to tell Kendall on the show, like, I got to hold cards. It didn't matter like what the card was. I was just excited to like actually hold cards. We're getting a lot of love in the comments here for Aram and Kendall. So good work, guys. And Chad deserves a lot of love as well for his work, not only on the show, but in the booth. Just he cracks probably five to 10 slabs for every one that I cracked. So really appreciate that. All right, guys, let's get into L&W of the week, because we can actually talk about a lot of these points within our L&W of the week. So, Chad, why don't we go over to you first, man, for your L of the week. What's a loss that you want to talk about?
My loss this week was not a financial one. My loss was walking around with you guys at the National and not being able to find a Bowman booth. That was my L of the week. I was amazed at how many vintage cards there were at the National and how little there was for modern cards of any, I mean, basketball, baseball, football, but especially Bowman. When I went down there with my sons on Thursday, I really expected to spend a few hours pulling a chair up or finding a Bowman box and just digging through and finding the nuggets that only I know about. There wasn't any. You know, there were a handful of Bowman cards in people's displays, but it wasn't like I thought it was going to be, and that's my L of the week.
That's a good one, man. Lefty, what do you think?
My L of the week is this whole mic situation. We were going so hard, and now I'm out of my normal place. So I'm off my rhythm today, boys. So that's my L of the week. But I agree with Chad. Having no Bowman booth was just ridiculous. And I had to wear a soccer shirt and basically just say, I will pay somebody to show me some soccer cards. So it was a lot of the same stuff. I mean, I get it from a national perspective. People are trying to sell their high dollar cards. But if you're going to prospect, the National is not your show, really. You need to be going to smaller shows. And Ozzy talked about that, where he profited really well. When we talked at Crust Brewing, he was talking about how he profited really well at a Boston show that was kind of a local place, where he was finding all the guys that we're talking about, Roman Anthony and all that kind of stuff. I didn't see I saw one Roman Anthony card at the National, and it was because Brian Steeler brought it to me from his personal collection. So, I mean, it was just like, it's not a place to prospect. It's more of a place to see incredible things for the first time. And it's like, for instance, we tried so hard to find some Jackson Holiday, and then I had to leave the event and buy one online. So sneak peek to my W of the week, but a
little teaser.
There it is.
Back to the starstruck. I don't know if it was starstruck, but watching Lefty handle $1 million worth of soccer cards 3 feet from me, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
That was special.
So to elaborate, and here's the photo here, for those of you watching on YouTube, this is Lefty with the not quite all $1 million, but that's like five of the cards from the $1 million worth of soccer cards that stopped by the booth. And go to, if you're listening on Apple and Spotify or any other podcast app, go to Instagram and go to Sports Card Strategy, and you'll see the photo of Lefty. It's great, great photo. I don't know if Alan or, you know, one of our interns took that, but good work. Yeah, back to you guys' point, you made me think of something. So shout out to Brian. So Brian Benda is a new friend of mine. And you could put this as a huge W, but as I was getting on the plane. I was the last to board on my Southwest flight yesterday home to Nashville. And like everyone on the, almost everyone on the plane, it felt like to me was coming back from the National, which was really cool. And so I there's a middle seat and I sit down and I notice this guy's like looking up comps on his phone. And I'm like, hey man, did you get any good pickups on the show? Anyway, long story short, we ended up talking like the whole way. Only time I've ever said any words to anyone on any airplane other than my family. And we talked the whole way. And he's like, you know what the National needs? I don't know why the National itself doesn't have an interactive map on an app that would allow people to, that would allow dealers to essentially build a profile that that could say what kinds of cards that they have at their booth. And so then people on the, you know, people at the National could download the app. It could be offline if they need to, because sometimes the internet sucks, but sometimes it works. But anyway, you could literally just search by who has what types of years, what types of sports, are they prospecting? And so you could then, if you are, I mean, I know you guys are saying that there's not any, but if there were, you could find them on the app because they could be listed as a Bowman booth or they could be listed as a soccer booth or whatever. Now, all this stuff's easier said than done, of course. And there's probably reasons why they don't have this. But to be able to have an app where you could sort of, like how you used to be able to do in Waze, and you probably still can, I don't use it anymore, but you can kind of map your route, right? So like you'd be able to map your route. I brought in I'm going to go to this booth and find an SGC card. I'm going to go to Sports Card Strategy and have them crack it. And then I'm going to go over to this Bowman booth and buy some prospects. And then I'm going to go over to PSA and have them grade them all. You know, that would be good, but that's a good L. My L of the week is I bought this card from a person that I really love who has a card shop. And it was listed at $225. It's a Tiger Woods Upper Deck 2001 National Promo card, PSA 10. So there's not a lot of these, but there are a lot of these. So like there's... The print run was given to, it was only available at the National that year, basically. So it's a nice looking card, and it's regarded as like a pretty liquid Tiger Woods, I guess, kind of rookie card. Having it in a PSA 10 is pretty cool. Listed at $225. This dealer I just trust and like I know would never try to rip me off. And the internet sucked at the time, and I wasn't going to look up comps. And that's literally why I went to him and I wanted the card. And I said, what's my price on that card? And he goes 180. And I'm like, done. Perfect. I want the card. And I'm thinking it probably comps out at like 200. Cause that's typically what kind of deal I would get from them. And so then I texted Mike LaCosta, who does the golf card strategy show with me. And the text was like me covering up the sticker. And, he's like, oh, what'd you get that for? Like 65? It comps out at like 80. And I'm like, crap. So my L of the week was that like I didn't take the time to check the comps. And I overpaid by like $100 on this Tiger Woods 2001 Upper Deck Heroes of Golf National Promo PSA 10. But segueing into, you know, a win, I guess, is that I have a relationship with that dealer and I've already got $100 credit from him the next time around because he acknowledged it too and work it out. So anyway, it's all good. Chad, did we do your L of the week yet? All right. What do you got for L of the week? You're muted.
Sorry. Yes. My L of the week was not being able to find Bowman.
Ah, got it. Yep. Sorry. I like lefty. I'm a little off of my game this morning. I didn't know how to add myself to the stream in StreamYard, and I've done it a million times. All right. Let's get to W of the week. I'm going to get to my W of the week. So I sold this Ellie De La Cruz card for, it's a paper 2022 Bowman paper prospect. First, Ellie De La Cruz PSA 10. For $154, and I'm shipping it today. So from a card perspective, that's my L of the week. And I want to bring this up because not everybody's going to pull an Ellie, right? Like, we talk a lot on this show about when to buy and sell, specifically when to sell prospects. And we talk about selling like pre-call-up, like during the call-up hype, right? And so Ellie obviously like transcended what most prospects do and like really just was on a tear when he first got called up. And so his prices continued to go nuts after the call-up. I don't expect that to happen with everybody. I don't expect that to happen with one of my top buys who we're going to talk about here in a second. But with Ellie, it's a huge win because, and Chad, I didn't hold this. It wasn't me being patient and holding it. It was that PSA had it. So PSA had it. And then when I finally got it back from PSA, I was able to sell it for probably more than what I would have sold it for if it would have been in my possession. So actually, thanks to PSA for being a little slow on that one, grading my Ellie De La Cruz card. But just another couple huge wins of the week that I want to shout out real quick. Gray Bowes sports cards, Duke Dodson, probably one of the best guys I've ever met. You know, great person. It's no wonder why he's such a great, business person, because I think to be a great business person, you gotta understand people. You gotta understand how to connect with people. You gotta care about people and doing the right thing. Duke Dodson set up a meet and greet for our audience at Crust Brewing. Chad, I was really, really happy that you were able to make it. You and Xavier and Harley John were there. And a lot of our audience were there. Andy Kaysen from Football Card Quest, Carter the Power from LSU Football, they were there. And, you know, the Graybos guys just like quietly do it. Like they don't ask for any credit. Like there's no, I mean, they're just like, I know that they're the sponsor of the show, but really they're friends of the show. And that's a huge win of the week. And I'm really happy that we're able to have relationships like that in the hobby. And another cool win is that Lefty and I walked around with Megan from eBay and we helped her buy her first sports card ever. And she bought Tom Brady, like some early Tom Brady stuff, just for really, really, like in a dollar box, basically. So what was cool about this is like Megan kind of came over from a different division at eBay into collectibles and sports cards specifically. So she didn't really understand it. And so Lefty and I had the opportunity to kind of like really educate her on what we do and what are, you know, and she met, you know, a lot of our audience members came by the booth, saw us cracking slabs and everything. So just wanted to shout out a couple more people in terms of a win of the week. So very exciting for me. And I would probably bore everybody to death if I talked about all of my like relational, you know, wins of the week from this past week. But Chad, over to you, man. What's your win of the week?
I've got a couple. Meeting the a lot of our viewers and members of the show, that was a huge W. Getting to hang out with you and Lefty in person and cracking all them slabs, that was a huge W. From a card standpoint, Graybos. I mean, Graybos was like an enormous W. Man, those guys are just the spread that they put on. The what a cool place Crust Brewing was too. You know, we walk in and we're getting you and Lefty are getting your frisked, and Lefty's got to open up his suitcase. And I mean, it was a very secure, very well done. Hats off to Graybos, man. Thanks a lot for that. That was amazing. But then the card W of the week has got to be Sal Frelick. You know, I've talked about him for a few months. I wish I'd have bought more, but I bought a Bowman Chrome Auto on eBay for $45. I sent it in for $20. It got a PSA 10, so I had $65 invested in it, and it sold while I was at the National on Saturday, and it sold for $415. So that was a nice little profit. Wish I'd had more.
That's awesome. Cool Arrow in the house. Just kind of scrolling through the comments here. That's a new name. We love the new names on the comments, because not everybody can catch the live stream. And we know there's a lot more listeners out there that we haven't connected with yet. So Cool Arrow, welcome to the show. That's obviously a win. Mark Drazinski, we met Mark. He's a good dude. He's got a question for us. And then I see Southern Soccer Radio has a question about the $1 million soccer card collection. So we're going to answer everyone's questions later on in the show. So stick with us. So we're going to answer all those questions. All right. So Lefty
The other win, Paul, was that I saved on shipping because the guy that bought the Sal Frelick was at the National and couldn't find any. And so when I went home Thursday night with my boys, I got to come back Friday morning and hand deliver the card. The guy stopped by our booth and picked up the card. So that was another win.
Yeah, like that's a good point. I mean, anytime you can save on shipping, even one way is a huge deal. Like I dropped off a card at PSA, right? And so that's a win too, because like when you don't have to ship a card, even one way, you're like, and you're taking the risk out of it. You know, you're taking the risk of something happening in the shipping process. Maybe the card gets damaged or something like that. But yeah, definitely saving on shipping is huge. So I'm going to get a couple more wins in here. Lefty left the stream to go grab his charger. He's definitely like way, way out of sorts today, trying to come back from the National. So his mic broke. At least he's here though. That's something. So, all right. This is a win that segues into a buy, because for those of you who are new to the show, maybe you haven't gone back and listened to some of the more recent episodes. Jackson Churio is still a buy for me. And a win is that I was able to pick up this PSA 10 Bowman Chrome First Auto, base auto, for $500. And it's going for about $675 consistently on eBay right now. And I won't bore you with the story of how I got it, but let's just say it's a card show pickup that you would not be able to get online, part relational, but part just because it's at a card show and you're able to actually, like, you know, meet new people, vibe with them a little bit, and then get a better deal. Right, Chad? Like, that's kind of like, and I know that's what Lonnie does. I know that's what Mosaic Joe is, like, one of the best I've ever seen at that. I mean, Mosaic Joe is like a genuine guy. Farmer Joe, for those of you who know him as Farmer Joe, he was by the booth. He came in and cracked his own slabs, by the way, which was cool, taking the pressure off us. But yeah, like this Jackson Churio. I mean, so now the joke was like, I almost sold it right away because I'm impatient, and I almost sold it for like $675 to somebody. But like, I think that's a win of the week, because this is what I was talking about earlier with the Ellie sale, is that this Churio card I'm going to sell upon call up. Now, there's a slight chance that it could be this year, but more likely it's going to be next year. It's going to be a situation where there's some hype around him going into next season. He might make the roster coming out of camp. He might get like a later call up like Ellie did. And if that's the case, that's exactly what I want, because I want to call him right around that, or sell him right around that hype cycle. And I think this card should, like, unless he gets injured, this should double, like, easily. Like, the price of this card should double. So that was a win for sure. And I'm trying to, like, buy some more time for Lefty to come in here, but he is missing. Lefty, we don't care what your L&W of the weeks are, because you're not on the stream right now, which is totally fine. We love you. We know you're struggle bus with trying to get your computer charger, but Chad and I are going to move on to who we're buying and who we're selling. So I'm going to talk real quick, Chad, about my National pickups. And I on the show before the National, I talked about wanting to go in and try to buy some Patrick Mahomes. And so I was able to, because our intern, Alan, had traded for this card at an earlier show, I was able to get a Mahomes, because my price range, I'm not a $15,000 card guy. I'm not even really right now a $1,500 card guy. That would be my absolute max, and I don't think I could do that right now. But financially, I'm a less than $500 Patrick Mahomes guy, which basically means I need to get down probably to some non-rookie stuff. And the non-rookie stuff is like a good example, 2019 Panini Select die-cut light blue prism out of 99. This is the kind of stuff that, like, unless you're Chad Gill or you know, somebody more knowledgeable about different sets and parallels than I am, that you're probably just going to have to assume is out there, but then try to go find at a card show, or you can find it on eBay or MySlabs or social media, you know, Facebook groups, Instagram. People are listing cards like this all the time. So if you want to get crafty on some budget Patrick Mahomes plays, I was pretty pumped about this. Last comps were around, I think, 270 or 220 or something like that. So I bought it for around that from Allen. But then because he was an unpaid intern for us at the National, I just overpaid for the card as part of his compensation. So we were both happy about that. I also picked up a, and this goes along with who I'm buying also outside of card shows, by the way, everybody, because I know not everybody can be at card shows or be at the National, but I'm buying Mbappe, because I think right now is a great time to buy Kylian Mbappe. He's the best player in the world, and no one's paying attention to him right now. So I was able to pick up this 2019 Topps Chrome UCL Sapphire Edition PSA 10. So just a card that I think gets overlooked by a lot of other big stuff right now and a lot of other stuff that's getting hyped up. And so I got it for $75. That's right around what recent comps were. And got it from Justin from 137pm.com. So shout out to Justin. Great guy. He was sitting there with Tyler and D-Rock. So talked to those guys for a while. Picked up that Mbappe. That's right in my price range too. So I'm not buying, like, you know, really high dollar Patrick Mahomes cards and really high dollar Kylian Mbappe cards. It's more of these like slightly off base stuff. You know what I mean? And then I said Jackson Trio a minute ago. And then the other guy is SGA, Shea Gilgeous Alexander. It's basketball card buying season. So we've like, I've talked about Churio and SGA on earlier shows, but I'm not going to like create new people to talk about because it's a new week. If I'm still buying the same people, I'm going to let you know that I'm still buying the same people and why I'm buying them. Jackson Churio, I'm buying because I don't want to spread myself too thin on prospects. I want to go all in on one top prospect. He's the guy right now I think is underpriced. And I bought two more of his just base Bowman Chrome PSA 10s. Bowman Chrome first PSA 10s at the show. Lefty helped me pick these up for $125 total for two of them. I think all of Churio's cards are going to safely double upon call up. And I think SGA, like, there's not a whole lot of opportunities to buy basketball guys right now that aren't overpriced, that are stars. And I think SGA is a guy that's a star, and he's on a team that's up and coming that's going to be very good with Chet, if Chet can stay healthy. And Giddy, I think Giddy's underrated and about to blow up. I wouldn't buy Giddy's cards. I would just go SGA cards, because I think he's the guy that can go from potential star, really, really fun to watch, to like one of the top players in the league. So I was able to pick up this red, white, and blue prism. I would encourage you, 2018 PSA 10. I got it for $110. More recent comps are around $140. So that was a good example of what you can do at a card show. Even if you go buy SGA, Churio, and Mahomes, and Mbappe on eBay, I would look for those kinds of cards. And for Mbappe and Mahomes, like, you don't have to go rookie. Those guys are going to sell, I think, without it being like a rookie scenario. So Ziggy's in the house. What's up, Ziggy? Cheers to you, man. All right. So Lefty's L of the week was that he didn't have his mic. And I've gone into who I'm buying, but I think I will give Lefty a chance to talk about his win of the week, right? So Lefty, you're back. What's your win of the week, man?
Well, my win of the week was you guys and meeting all of our people at Crust Brewing. Shout out to Denny one time, once again, for doing that. But I'll just go straight into my buys, because we've talked a lot this week about how the National was so cool for us. I mean, meeting the Gas guys was really cool, and just seeing all that they do and talking to Aram, it was just a fun week. So that was my win of the week. But my buys, I was able to pick up some cards that I really – so we talked about it at the National, how there wasn't a lot of stuff we were looking for. And well, there was some stuff I was looking for, but I wasn't aware that I was looking for it, if that makes sense. So at one point, I was looking for Jackson Holiday because he's totally a buy for me. And I had about, you know, $500 or so in my pocket that I was like, okay, if I see some Jackson Holidays, I'm going to gonna get one. And they were just nowhere because everybody was like, yeah, everybody's buying him as soon as I put it out, which is good for me. That shows me that there's more people in this market with buy potential. But I was walking by and Chad just looked over and said, there's a whole case of Roki Sasaki cards. And I was just thrilled when I looked over and this guy had like 40 or 50 Roki cards that I could look through, and ended up making a pretty big purchase there in terms of buying several Roki rookie cards, PSA 10s. And you guys have heard me talk about him before, but I'm super excited about Roki and how he could potentially be one of the best pitchers on the planet. And he's going to be coming stateside here in a little bit. So, or here in a couple of years. So we've talked about a lot about how you can make margin from pitchers at some point if you get in low enough. And I believe Roki is one of those guys that if you get some significant Roki rookie cards, then that could be really cool. So me and Jeff picked up some really fun cards at this booth in particular. The guy was amazing to work with. That was really, really fun. But since then, I've picked up a Messi rookie card, which was just, I didn't know if I would ever have that, or a young Messi card, not an official rookie card.
Be careful, SSI. SSI's in the stream, so be careful with what you say is a rookie card. We know he has a strong stance on Erling Haaland. What's a Haaland rookie and what's not? So just tread lightly there. But actually, Lefty, while you were gone, SSI asked, what was part of the quote-unquote million-dollar soccer card collection? Could you just briefly kind of fill us in on that?
So I was holding five cards in that picture, right? And that was the first five cards I pulled out of this, like, case. And this guy, it was this guy from Cleveland, and he had, you know, four Messis there and one Ronaldo. And what I was saying here is, for instance, that Ronaldo 9-5 right there a couple of years ago sold for, or was selling for about $120,000 at one point. So it's not worth that right now for sure. And it's come down from that. But I remember seeing one of those at the National with $120,000 price tag on it at my first National. And I was just like blown away that I was holding in five cards. I was holding three PSA 10 Messis. I believe the last one there, the back one, the 2004, is also a PSA 10, which the pop count is extremely low on. And then not only these five cards, but then he had it was like a six auto legend card with all these legends on one card. And then he had just some of the coolest one of ones that I've seen. In some of the United States women's national team cards he's had were breathtaking. He had a lot. He had some Pulisic cards that were really nice. Katarina was awesome. He had a one-of-one Katarina in there. It was just like
Katarina Vicario. I cracked out one of her cards for somebody.
His shout out to Cleveland Cards. His collection was just breathtaking to hold.
That's so awesome.
That was. And it honestly just started by me seeing that he was wearing a United States women's national team jersey. And I said, do you like soccer cards? And he goes, do you want to see some cool stuff? So.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, at the end of the show, we're going to give you our data around the slab count breakdown of the different grading companies. But, and also at the end of the show, I feel like there's a little bit of, not breaking news, but like our sources have told us something that is very notable in the hobby that I'm going to tell you about at the end of the show. We have some industry sources that are feeding us some information. We're not like the hobby news people, but we do occasionally, like, because we have a growing audience here at the Sports Card Strategy Show and nooffseason.com, and we're building some relationships in the hobby. We have some people kind of feeding us some information. So there's something I want to drop at the end that I think you guys will find notable. So stick around for that. All right, before we go over to Chad's buys, I do want to also, since Lefty mentioned gas, I want to go through a couple more of my national pickups. So gas, I didn't know what they were, had no idea, but they had pictures of Tupac, who's my favorite recording artist of all time, up at their booth. And they had some like hip hop cards and a lot of cool looking, like beautiful looking non-sports cards. But I'm always a little skeptical of non-sports cards because if it's not like a notable brand, that a reputable brand that's produced the card, that people buy, like that people trade, like Topps, Panini, Upper Deck, like, you know, I'm not going to name all of them. You guys know what I'm talking about. It can be a little bit weird to say like, okay, well, anybody can take a picture of Tupac and put it on a card, right? Anybody can take a picture of a person and put it on a card. So I'm always a little bit skeptical, especially, you know, just, I could be spending my money on other things. So, however, after learning about gas and why they are special, we did an episode with Greg, the founder of gas. Go check that out on our channel. But, I purchased Tupac cards. I purchased two of the base set drop with, so that's like gives you a chance at a parallel. And then I purchased one set of the prism, like prism-esque chromium cards. That's a kind of how, I'm probably not describing that as well as Greg would, but that's kind of what, if he likened it to like a Topps chrome or a prism, like a silver prism, basically. And so these are being listed on eBay, the set that I bought, for around $400. And I was told yesterday by one of the people at Gas who used to work design cards at Topps that some of these are selling for closer to around $500 for the set on eBay. And the reason why, guys, and the reason why I bought them is because they're only available at the National. So I think that you have to be like, so I'm going to list mine. And I mean, I think they're sweet. I know Lefty like could not care less about Tupac cards, but, and that's kind of that's the risk is that, and I did get a parallel, by the way, when I got the base set. So I got lucky and got a parallel. It's an out of 10, but if you're a Tupac fan, if you're a hip hop fan, if you're a music fan, GasTradingCards.com has a lot of great stuff. I was able to get the Tupac stuff because I was at the National, and that's the reason I bought it. And so I think that this is applicable to you guys, even if you weren't at the National, because you can go to GasTradingCards.com and you can go to other places and get cards like this, but you got to be careful with like what makes the card unique. If you're trying to flip it, you got to understand what the play actually is before you buy the card, or what the potential play actually is before you buy the card. As much as I love Tupac, you guys know I'm not a PC guy. I'm going to sell all of these. I'm going to list them today. Try to get off the show like ASAP so I can list them. But anyway, I bought them because there's a play. And so I was pretty pumped up about that. Real quick, Chad, sorry, one sec. Cam Thomas, shout out Chase Krim, was kind of holding this for me. I bought this Cam Thomas from him. Impeccable patch auto out of 99. Sick, sick, sick card. This is what Krim does. He curates the best cards, period. If elevator pitch for Chase Krim, he curates the best cards, period. And then he gives you good deals on them. So I got this Treylon Burks rookie ticket auto from Krim as well. Both of them for $80. So it was amazing deal. Amazing deal. If I had any sports card strategy advice, it would be become real good friends with Chase Krim. That's my advice. All right, Chad, over to you, man, for your buys. We're all waiting for who the doctor's buying.
Well, I'm going to start for SSI. I'm going to start with a soccer card. Erling Haaland, his 2019 Topps Chrome Sapphire Edition PSA 10. Less than a month ago was selling for around $850. Right now, most recent sale, one sold last night for $675. That's about a 20% drop for the greatest soccer player on the planet right now, Erling Haaland. So I'm looking at, I put two of them on the watch list that are auctions. I plan on buying one of those this week myself. if I can get them in that price range, I think there is a lot of margin there. Dalvin Cook has yet to be signed. Most of his stuff is up. So you got to be careful what you're looking at. What I'm looking at is an Andy Kaysen special, the Donruss Optic base rated rookie PSA 10 is, I don't know why, it's one of his only cards that is down. The last two sales have gone lower and lower. It's only a pop 1100. That card most recently sold for $25. When he signs, it doesn't matter where he signs. He's a big enough name. When he signs somewhere, there's going to be a little bit of hype. I expect that card to go to at least $50 and double my money. So I bought two of those last night. And then I've got an article that's going to drop here in the next day or two on No Off Season. Ja Morant is another player that I am aggressively looking at right now. The article explains why and which cards I'm targeting specifically. But Ja Morant is a player that if your risk tolerance can handle it, there is a ton of money to be made with Ja Morant if he stays clean and gets back to playing Ja Morant-style basketball.
Those are strong, Chad. Those are really, really strong. Good work, man. I love those. Lefty's like nodding his head and clapping for Chad. Lefty, tell us about it. Unmute yourself.
Well, I think the Dalvin Cook play couldn't make more sense because he's paired with the GOAT Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God. Come on.
No, seriously, Paul, your take on the Jets not making the playoffs is looking increasingly worse as they pick up a guy like Dalvin Cook.
It's the NFL, bro. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Like, they could win the Super Bowl. So, Cook cards, I think, are a fun play. Not a play that I'm particularly making, but a play I would endorse. Let's put it that way. And I would hold back a second on something that Chad said. I am in on buying Haaland cards, but I would still not say that he is the best soccer player on the planet right now. So,
who's that? Rose Lavelle?
Absolutely. No, I do love Rose Lavelle, but I would say that Messi is still the best player on the planet. And then I would still put Mbappe over him as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that because again, my Mbappe pickup, $75 pickup, it's not going to make me rich, but I think, it could pay off. I love Chad's buys. I am having short-term memory loss this morning. Lefty, did we do your buys yet?
Yeah. Okay. I talked about getting Jackson Holiday. I bought a Roman Anthony. I bought a Messi this week.
That's right.
And then I think one of my coolest buys that I got.
I suck.
One of my favorite buys that I got at the National was, talked about Roki Sasaki. And then I also bought a Abby Wambach card. So the GOAT American right under Mia Hamm, I would put her at number two. I was able to find an out of 99 Abby Wambach Obsidian Auto at the National.
Nice, nice. We got a lot of great audience questions. So we're going to get to those. And then my news from my source. And but first, Lefty, since we got you up, brother, and I won't forget whether or not you've done this segment, who are you selling?
So I sold big this week. I was able to move out of some of my big cards that we've been holding for a while. I listed some of my quarterback cards at the National and was able to move out of a Trevor Lawrence auto that I had. So I made some pretty significant margin from buying Trevor Lawrence last December and then sold him this month. I'm selling all other quarterbacks right now. I know that I could wait till in the season when Jalen Hurts balls, but I'm at the point where I'm at enough profit where I'm comfortable selling. Even if I don't get the top of the market right now, I'm comfortable selling on the way up, for cards that I don't usually trade or buy and sell at a significant amount. I'm also selling Ellie. I'm not buying Ellie. He's had a really tough month of July. When you look at some of his splits, they moved him to the leadoff and he's actually not doing well at the leadoff position. I would imagine they move him out of the leadoff. And so I would expect Ellie De La Cruz, to his prices to start reflecting pretty soon, unless he turns it around. I don't think that the Reds win this division. I think that the Brewers slowly come in and sneakily win this division. I think it's a division that's up for grabs, and Corbin Burns and Yelich and Sal Frelick and all those guys are playing more consistent baseball. I would say they have less star power and less like flashy names. You know, they don't have Ellie on their team or whatever, but I believe in the long run, the Brewers take this division. And, you know, if I was a betting man, I probably would put money down the Brewers winning the Central. So that's going to force the Reds into a wild card game. And I don't like their chances in a one game spread. And so I think Ellie's prices are going to go down quite a bit. So if you are still holding him, I would get out of him now, so before you're eating a massive chunk of your profit on the way down. You don't want to, I mean, I think we're already seeing a teeter down. And so that's who I'm selling right now.
Chad's been like a proponent of holding Ellie for the last several weeks, but this stuff changes minute by minute. So one of the reasons why we do the show every week and we try to put out multiple pieces of content every week is because this stuff changes minute by minute. So, Chad, are you now more aligned with Lefty on selling Ellie, or are you still kind of looking at holding him?
No, Lefty is spot on. The mortality of Ellie De La Cruz's legacy has been showing since they moved him. I don't know what the hell they're doing moving him to the leadoff spot. He has struggled mightily. The guy was crushing the baseball at the cleanup spot. They move him to leadoff. I get it. Maybe with his speed, they're thinking get on base and add some runs, but they need to move him back to the leadoffs or to the cleanup spot and put some protection around him. Or you could see the same type of meteoric rise could be a meteoric fall. You know, that paper first that just did 153 will be back to $25 in October if they don't do something and he doesn't get it figured out quickly. My two sells that I have are Sal Frelick. I'm still selling Sal. I've got three PSA slabs of Sal that end tonight, hoping that I do well with those. And then Marco Luciano just got called up last week, and his the stats on his card are his 19 Chrome first, not an auto, PSA 10 is up 70% in the last 30 days. Sell him now and take your profits.
Guys, everybody, we have more buys and sells, and we elaborate on these buys and sells at nooffseason.com. So go to nooffseason.com, and we're going to have an article posted all week on elaborating on all of these buys and sells that we talk about on the show and getting down into what cards specifically to buy and sell, because it's one thing to say about a player, and we talk about this all the time. Like, it's one thing to say we're buying and selling a player, but really it depends on the card and it depends on the market for the card and things like that. So the guys do a great job here of being very specific, but we only have so much time on the show. So that's why Connor and I and Chad and Lefty and others are putting more content on the website right after the show for buying and selling. Like, I've got three more NBA players that I want to talk about buying, but my sells of the week are this football. It's football. It's like, it's guys like, if you have Anthony Richardson, Bowman Chrome University stuff, you know, like, that's, we saw Joe Burrow go down, and I want to ask you guys a question about Joe Burrow here in a second, but like, that the NFL is the greatest soap opera in the world, in my opinion. And the reason why is because stuff happens all the time in training camp. and in the preseason and then during the season and then the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And like, there is no off season in the NFL. And so we have guys that are coming into the league for the first time that now have these Bowman Chrome University cards that you guys have been holding on to for this moment. List them now. This is where I know that, like, we all have our different strategies with, do you do buy it now? Do you do auctions? I think you list it. You list your football cards, especially if they're collegiate guys who now are in the pros. They're about to start having pro uniform cards come out. The value of their collegiate cards are going to plummet. So any Anthony Richardson, Bijan Robinson, like, you know, any of these top draft picks, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, like, all their pro stuff's going to be coming out and everyone's going to be salivating and bidding over on their pro stuff. So you got to get rid of the college stuff now. So Anthony Richardson, Bowman Chrome University auto, I've got a base PSA 10. I was fortunate enough to get it, have it graded a PSA 10. That thing's going to be gone. I'm listing it like today. So, football cards. And I want to, and like, so there'll be more football cards that we think you should sell on the website. We'll put it on the website at no off season, but like, I'm going to focus today on any recent Jahmyr Gibbs, like any, especially running backs. Guys, running backs get injured all the time. Wide receivers are like super hard to predict from week to week. Who's going to do what. It's all about schemes. Like, what is the defensive coordinator going to scheme against different wide receivers? Like, we think we can maybe try to know that stuff, but from a card value perspective, like, are you going to try to pick a Gabe Davis blow up game from like a rookie wide receiver? Or like, you know, I mean, so this is the time where we try to help you take the risk out of the sports card investing and of the flipping. The reason why we're so confident is in what we do is because we know when to help you sell these cards so that you don't take a loss and you can maximize the profit. So every once in a while, you know, somebody might get injured early. Every once in a while, somebody might pull an Ellie and like Anthony Richardson, maybe he like, remember what Cam Newton did his rookie year? Maybe he does that. And then maybe we're talking on the show like, look, you could have made $400 extra on your Anthony Richardson card. Sorry, but you still made $100. And then you took the risk out of like losing $100, right? So I think that that's...
Crystallize it.
Yeah, crystallize the investment from Paul Fisher. Paul Fisher, if you're still listening to the show, we love you, man. You're a big-time supporter from day one. So we haven't heard from you in a while, but we hope you're doing well. Paul Fisher used to tell Lefty and I, crystallize the investment. So we like that. All right, guys. So we've gone through the buys. We've gone through the sells. We've got some audience questions from the chat. We're going to take any premium member questions we answer on the Overflow show, but, audience questions, if you're live with us, we take them on the show. And again, if you're not live with us, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. We'll figure out how to get you an answer, or DM me at Sports Card Strategy on Instagram. All right. We're going to do audience questions. Then we're going to get into my question about Joe Burrow. And then I'm going to give you sort of the breaking news from the source that I have in the industry and what the hell that all is. All right. First up, Mark Drazinski, met him at the National. Great guy. Lefty. And Chad's going to have an answer too. Are we selling Heston Kjerstad?
I think his day is coming.
Okay. Chad, Heston, selling him?
I'm not selling him yet, but
all right.
I mean, I think the time will be soon, but I'm not selling him yet.
Okay. Oh, my shoes is here, everyone. We see you in the chat, shoes. We're just blabbing over here. So shoes is in the house. Good to see you. He says, what about Lars Nootbaar, Lefty?
I did love Lars in the WBC because of the publicity he was getting, being the first non-Japanese born. So he is Japanese, but he wasn't the Japanese native to be on the Japanese national team. And clearly I'm in on Japanese baseball players. But
making a generalization.
Well, what I was saying is like I am clearly
interested. There are some
interested.
That you're in on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested in the market, but I would not be interested in Lars Newt Barr cards right now because I really think he's an average to maybe great outfielder, and is not a guy that I'm interested in, and I don't like many of the Cardinals players. And so I was interested in his hype originally, but now I'm out.
There you go, Shoes. All right, Brian Steeler 7-1.
Guys, I'm not really feeling very well. I think I'm gonna have to peace out today. So
okay, we hope you feel better, man.
Hope you feel better. Take care, Lefty.
We're gonna take it home. Chad, Brian Steeler 7-1-4. He was looking for Jackson Holiday autos, but his prices are outrageous. So this is actually a great point. Aram Lefty and I, the episode we did that just dropped. Listen, everybody go listen to that episode. And this kind of talks about this point about Jackson Holiday. What price range would you consider too much for his first base chrome auto? Raws right now are around 350 to 400. And Steeler says, I don't think he's going to come down at all, which I totally agree with. And Chad, I'm curious to your take. And then I have probably something to add as well.
Yeah. So Lefty and I talked a lot about Jackson Holiday all the 2 days that we were there at the National together. It was probably the most talked about player between Lefty and I of any of the conversations we had. His prices are high. They were hard to come by at the National. I went online like Lefty did because I was going to buy one. They are pricey. I don't care what you pay for it right now. He looks like whatever you pay, it's going to make money. This guy looks like... This guy looks to be him and Cheerio are neck and neck right now for the next great Ellie play. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. I don't think you can overpay right now for either one of them because I think next year when they get called up, if they both wait till next year, I think whatever you pay now, there will be profit to be had. Whether it's 350 or 450, as long as it's in good condition, and you think you can get a PSA 10 on it. If it PSA 10s, you will double your money. I don't care if you pay $550 for it. A PSA 10 is going to do $1,200 to $1,500 when he gets called up because he, with his dad being who it is, his cards are going to get hyped and go to the absolute moon.
Yes. I'm going to emphasize everything you just said. When I first got into serious sports card investing and trying to flip to make money, the biggest mistakes I would make would be with not wanting to pay for the top guys and rather trying to do my own prospecting for less expensive guys. So for example, instead of buying more expensive prospects heading into 2022, I was looking at like Griffin Conine and like some of the other guys. And if I would have gone like all in on O'Neill Cruz, instead of trying to go like really, really penny stock, I would have made far more money when O'Neill Cruz got the call up. And, you know, that's just one example. And so this time around, and same thing with Ellie, like Ellie was hard to buy in January of 2023. He was hard to buy and his prices were super high. And so I would think like, do I go buy like Kyle Manzardo? Like I bought a Kyle Manzardo card for half the price of the Ellie card. And if I would have just not bought some other stuff and bought that one big Ellie card, I would have like probably tripled my money. And so I think that that's the same exact thing with Jackson Holiday. It's like, stay the course. Keep looking for what feels right to you, what you can tolerate from a risk standpoint. And if it's not in your budget, save up for it so that it becomes now in your budget, because it's worth it to buy one bigger Jackson Holiday card than it is to say, oh, I'm going to go real deep with all these other guys who aren't, like, maybe one of them hits, but even when they hit, all of the other ones that didn't hit make it a wash for the one that hit. And then if you would have bought the Jackson Holiday, you would have made a ton of money. So Chad nailed it. And so did Steeler 7-1-4. Like, stay the course, Brian. Keep looking for the Holiday. I think that any price range, that's near comps is going to be the right price range for Holiday, because the market is in on him and his prices are only going to continue to climb. And so there's the only way you overpay is if you pay like 50% above comps or 30% above comps. It might be like overpaying. But I think like if you're paying even 10% above recent comps, you're right in the wheelhouse for a guy like Holiday. So
I want to add one thing real quick to what Paul is saying. Paul's absolutely right. However, when you have guys like Churio and Holiday, it does not have to be an auto. Ellie is the perfect example of this. So if your price range doesn't allow you to spend $350 or $450 on an auto, don't worry about it. Buy a paper for $8 or $10.
Yeah.
Look at what Ellie's paper did. When you've got surefire, bona fide, gonna make money plays like Holiday and Churio, as long as it's got the Bowman First logo on it, buy it. I don't care what it is. If it's an auto, if it's a parallel, if it's a paper, if you can get it, buy it.
Exactly. Like Churio, $65 right now for his Bowman Chrome First PSA 10. And like that should double. And that's $65. Like that's that, like you go out to dinner and it's way more than that. So buy yourself two dinners later by doing the Churio play or the Holiday play. Holiday's like double the price of Drew Jones right now, but like probably worth it. I mean, we elaborated on that in the episode with Aram that I told you to go check out. So, all right, a few more questions. So Rocky Empire Sports Card says, as a Jets fan, Paul is with the smart money. So like, I just want to clarify real quick. I think most of you know that it's a joke, but I know that more and more people are coming in and listening to our show. And I want to clarify, I'm not like flag in the ground telling you not to buy Aaron Rodgers. I don't like him. And you see a lot of the people in the hobby that say, and I think it's good advice. Like it's general Captain Obvious advice, but it's good advice. It's like buy who you love. Don't go buy a card of a guy who you think could make you money, but you don't like him. I have used the word hate Aaron Rodgers. And so I'm not buying him. It's a joke between like the nooffseason.com family. And so if you're new to the nooffseason.com family, I want you to know like 99.9% of what I talk about are my recommendations, what I think you should do. I'm giving you advice. But with Aaron Rodgers, I'm not giving you advice. I'm playing into the joke. I just want to clarify that. And same thing with Kenny Pickett. That's become some weird lefty thing. Think he says Kenny Pickett's my guy. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't think Kenny Pickett's a bad buy, but that's a little bit of a joke as well. So if you're really not sure if it's a real recommendation from me, you could always email me, paul@nooffseason.com.
However, we do have to get a 8x10 framed. There was a great young kid that had a 1-of-1 Aaron Rodgers, and Paul took a picture with it. So that we got to get that framed somewhere.
Awesome. All right. Rusty Imigart says, so now is now the time to grab is now like right now the time to grab Topps Acuna for MVP buyback. Explain that program and what's your take on this, Chad?
Well, there's a lot of drama going on with this right now. If you're following this at all, so Topps Chrome did a buyback last year where the AL and NL MVP, so Aaron Judge and Paul Goldschmidt last year, their cards, their base Chrome cards out of the Topps Chrome, you could get $20 worth of credit, and it went up for the parallels up to, I think it was $100 for some of the lower serial numbered parallels. But anyways, you could take them into a local card shop and get a credit for them. It was a buyback program. They've announced that they're doing it with the 2023 Topps Chrome. However, you don't know who the MVPs are going to be. So there seems to be a chase for Shohei and Acuna. Assuming that those are going to be the two odds on favorites for MVP. So yes, the answer is yes. You can do the chase for those if you can get them for, you know, they're dollar cards. If you can get them for $2, $3, $4 and hedge your bet, you could get up to $20 for them. However, where the drama comes in is I've watched three case breaks of this product, and it appears, and a lot of people are commenting on this, as the tops short printed Shohei and Acuna. I don't know if this is true, but I watched an entire case of Topps Chrome Jumbos get opened, and out of a case of Jumbos, there were three Otanis and three Acunas, whereas every other player had about 10 or 12. So that you might not find those two guys for the $3 or $4 or $5. They might be coming out of the gate at 15 or 20, and then there's not really a play to be made.
Okay. Great stuff, Chad. Thanks so much. Good question, Rusty. We appreciate it. All right. Janelle Shu says, I've always wondered with the cracking, how much do you believe in pop counts knowing that the cracking's going on? I'm going to take this real quick, and then Chad's going to have more to say from his perspective, and he has massive experience related to this. So I'll just share this. PSA has graded like 100 million cards pretty easily, I would say. I don't know the number, but just like knowing how many cards they grade, like, and that might even be like in the last couple of years. Like, I mean, all time, it's like, it's pretty massive number. At the National, which is the biggest sports card show in the world by a mile, we had a significant booth. Again, shout out to Tim Larson. Signs of the Times Collectibles. We were cracking slabs pretty much all day, every day, like Wednesday through Saturday. We didn't really do much on Sunday. We cracked just over 100 slabs. So 51% of them were PSA, 30% of them were Beckett, 10% of them were SGC, 7% of them were CSG, 1% were PSA tickets, and 1% were other. So my point is, I believe in the pop counts a lot. I think that a lot of slab cracking happens, but I think it's a grain of sand in the Sahara Desert of the slab cracking related to the amount of cards that get graded. But Chad, am I missing something on this? You know more about this than I do.
No. So first of all, Teapot did a really nice video about this a while back. It's hard to imagine, but 50% of all of PSA's graded cards have been done in the last 2 years.
Okay.
Think about that. That's 50% crazy. Of what PSA has graded in its lifetime of its company has happened in the last 2 years. So, you know, they're up to 1 million cards a month now, and they're still growing. So it is it's an obscene amount of cards. But the pop counts, so here, don't get too hung up on pop counts. Pop counts only matter if you're holding something long-term. Our show is dedicated to short-term flips, a year or less. I don't care if it's got 100,000 pop count, liquid. The higher the pop count, the more liquid the card probably is. If you can get in it and make a profit, that's all that matters. Don't get hung up on pop counts. Pop counts only matter if you're trying to buy the next 52 Mickey Mantle and hope 50 years from now that it's going to be the next $10 million card. That's when pop count matters. Anything other than that, pop counts don't matter.
Great answer, Chad. Janelle says that was helpful. I've been struggling with that in football. Do I go by a Burrow Hertz or a Pickett Ritter, for instance? All right, so let's get to that in a second. I'm going to star it. We're going to get back to it, but I want to give a shout out to Ilana Stewart. Ilana Stewart, welcome. Longtime Spotify listener, first time YouTube watcher. Thank you so much. Welcome to you. And also, I see Chad Power in the house. Chad Power finally made it back early enough for the live. I loved all the content from the National. Awesome. Shoes says Kenny Pickett is my boy. Absolutely. I'll take that on. I took that on, Shoes. I took that on in one of the episodes from the National with Lefty. So I'll take that and run with it. Shane Graham bought a Bowman Inception gold Cheerio out of 25 several months ago for $25. That's going for 100. That's exactly what we're talking about, Shane. Cheerio and Holiday we like Bowman Chrome firsts, but even with those guys, you can find the right card. Like Inception is not a bad set, and it's but here's the key: that's out of 25, so it's a gold out of 25. Looks like a non-auto, but it's still like when it's the right player. All right, a couple more questions here, Chad, from people. So let's get to, and then I'm going to tell all you guys this. Part of the reason why we have so much extended content is not because we don't want to offer everything for free. It's because we need to figure out a way to help everyone. And so that's why we do the free 30-day trial at nooffseason.com. And we give anyone who wants to ask a question unlimited advice. So if we're not getting to your question on the show, please go to nooffseason.com. Sign up for a free 30-day trial of our premium membership, put in a question, and we'll answer it on the Overflow show. Rusty Emigart says, pulled Junior Caminero, 23 Mojo out of 150. Sell? Chad? I would hold it, right? I mean, we're holding.
Like, I'm buying Caminero.
Yeah,
I'm buying Caminero. Do not sell Caminero yet. Well, you know, there again, we talk about short-term plays. So you pulled it. You have very little invested in it. If you wanted to take that profit and
move into Holiday,
move into something else, then go ahead and do it. So, so you can hold it or you can flip it. Either one.
Yep. Agree. I would hold it because I'm looking to buy Caminero as well. And I know that answer probably surprises people. I'm normally saying sell what you pull, but like Caminero, like I would, he's going to be right up there with, you know, just behind Churio at some point, I think is like the next guy.
Message Paul, Lefty, and I what you want for it. One of the three of us might buy it.
Yeah, exactly. We started a trade between the three of us. Chad and I made a trade. So I got to mail Chad this LeBron 2003 Tops PSA 9 today. So Chad, that's coming your way. All right. Cool Arrow says Justin Crawford. He's on our list. I mean, he's got the pedigree. I think his prices are a little bit lower. I know that like, I think Lefty's kind of like not super high, but not low on him. Like maybe I think Lefty's like above lukewarm on him, but Chad, what do you think about Justin Crawford?
Justin Crawford, there's plays to be made on him right now with his Bowman first. He's about a year away. I don't think he'll get called up. I don't think he'll make the roster coming out of spring training next year. I think he's a June, maybe June, July call up for next year. But he's definitely a buy and hold right now, or buy and get graded and hold. He's middle of the pack.
Quick question from Alana Stewart. Tyler Soderstrom, Bowman first, and Zach Gieloff send for grading, or did they get lost in the Ellie hype?
Soderstrom already got called up, so that ship has sailed. There's no sense. And Soderstrom is struggling, so his stuff has crashed like 50% in the last week. So the Soderstrom ship has sailed. If you missed selling a week ago when he got called up, Zach Gieloff could still be a play. He was one of the guys I was high on early in the year. He's struggling a little bit this year. If he gets it figured out, he could be a call up for next year as well.
Janelle, looking to buy a Burrow or Hurts or buy a Pickett Ritter. So send an email through the website, Janelle, because I know you're a premium member. If you want me to elaborate on this, but since you're on the show right now, I'll tell you, I would not buy any football cards right now until late November, early December. I think late November, early December is going to be when you're going to want to assess who the guys are at that point that are healthy, ready to make a playoff run, and or have upside for the future. So for example, Burrow and Hurts are in that first category. You want to assess who's healthy and ready to make a playoff run. They've each been to Super Bowls recently. They're expected to take their teams far in the playoffs. There's a lot of hype around them right now, except for, I want to talk about Burrow. This is actually a perfect segue into the Burrow thing I wanted to ask Chad about. Pickett Ritter would be the second category. How well do they play this year? And which one has the most upside potential for the future? The reason why I say late November and early December is because the trend lines on market movers always show that the best buying opportunity for all sports cards is December. It's something to do, I think, with the holidays, people shutting down. I think like people are not as active for whatever reason, buying sports cards. There's not as many views on auctions. There's not as many bids. We also saw it, I think, in June, early June this year. But December is a great time because it's the perfect pocket. Not only do the prices go down, but now you know more about these guys. Right now, it's all speculation. We have more information on Burrow and Hurts, obviously. But anyway, so thanks for the question, Janelle. Chad Power, we'll get to yours in a second, but I want to ask Chad, Joe Burrow. So we know now that he has a calf strain and that he's expected to miss several weeks. Now, I've followed the NFL a lot throughout the years. I've created a lot of content about the NFL and about fantasy football. To me, I look at this and I say, this is going to be a week by week thing. This is a thing where it's July 31st. The Bengals know it's not serious, but it's serious enough to where he's not going to play in any preseason games. And he's going to rehab throughout the preseason. This is a hot take, but I feel like he's going to be ready by week one. I'd be surprised if he's not. There's always, like, but I don't know. So it's a hot take. Like I have no inside information on this, but the question, Chad, is, you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, and he's a guy whose prices never go down. They only go down like in the windows of like December and June, kind of when everybody dips a lot, but he doesn't dip that much, even when everybody, he just kind of plateaus now, which is fine. Like buy Joe Burrow during a plateau. I'm not saying not, but I'm saying, is this a buying opportunity for Joe Burrow? Is this a sneaky play to go, you know what? I want to go into Joe Burrow now.
Well, first of all, I'm going to answer this and then I got to run.
Yeah.
But right now, Burrow's cards haven't plateaued. They continue to go up. I just looked at that this morning cause I knew we were going to be talking about it. And, since the announcement of his injury in the last 3 days, across the board, his cards are still up 3 to 5% because everybody knows that the season is coming. They've announced it's not serious. I don't anticipate there to be a dip in Burrow at all. However, last year, Bengals got out of the gates. They struggled early. Burrow dipped hard last year in September, early October. If you would have bought into Burrow end of September, early October, you'd have made boatloads of money. So if this ends up being a nagging injury to where he starts out a little bit slow, there could be a buying opportunity in September. But right now, if you haven't bought Burrow, don't buy him now. It's too late.
Yep, that's a great point. All right, Chad, we'll let you go. Great show today. I'm going to take us home here.
All right, and, sounds good.
Stick with us, everybody, because I got some good stuff. So
Thanks, everybody.
Can answer this question. Thanks, Chad. I can answer this question from Brian Steeler 714. How do you feel about Marcelo Mayer? We're all high on Marcelo Mayer. However, we're higher on Roman Anthony in that organization because there's more value in Roman Anthony. We talked to Aram about it on the show that just dropped on our channel. It looks like Roman Anthony is going to outpace Marcelo Mayer related to potentially not only the top prospect in that organization, but definitely from a value standpoint, from a sports card perspective. So thanks for the question, Brian. Chad Power says, running with the Roman Anthony play. Thanks to Chad and Lefty. Absolutely. All credit to those guys. Other than first autos, are you buying color paper or only chrome it up? I would say that the color paper serial numbered for the right price, absolutely, are buys because it's Roman Anthony. And but I wouldn't buy like anything that's not serial numbered. Shane Graham says, are you buying James Wood over Roman Anthony at this time? Great question. So for me personally, they're about equal. I think, I would give the edge to James Wood though, just because, I'm a hype guy. If you listen to the show, and if you don't listen to the show, I'll tell you, I follow, the trends related to the hype around a player, because I think that you can't tell the market what to do. The market tells you what to do. And if you try to like educate the market, you're going to lose. That goes to the theory that Lefty and I say, if you're looking at a card and you have to explain to the person why it's valuable, then you're not going to sell it for the maximum profit. So when I compare James Wood to Roman Anthony, James Wood just simply has more awareness in the hobby. And so that's why I give him the slight edge. Although I will say Roman Anthony is gaining awareness. He's gaining hype, and he's probably, I don't have the data in front of me, but he's probably going to be a little bit cheaper. Roman Anthony is right now than James Wood, especially on the bigger stuff. So Shane, shoot me an email, paul@nooffseason.com. I'll elaborate on the overflow show for you, cause I think that's a great question. I'd like to have some data in front of me when I answer that question. And Rocky Empire says, I always check out the grading report specific for the color parallels before I dive in too deep. I've noticed huge amounts of certain colors getting awful grades. Yeah, that's interesting. Cause I do think grading is when you buy that and it's not the auto or it's not the chrome, I do think you have to get it graded. And by the way, I do think getting anything non-auto, like, it's really only a play if you get it graded, I think, with a lot of these guys, if you want to try to make it, make it as profitable as possible for you. All right. So here is what I was talking about in terms of the breaking news in the industry. A source of mine has told me that Fanatics is going to buy the National. Now, this makes so much sense to me because the National is an incredibly impressive event. And the people at the National did an amazing job this year. Yeah, you could say they need an app. Yeah, you could say they need better Wi-Fi. Yeah, you could say, like, maybe they don't put the dealers all in the right location with one another. Like, there's stories about somebody who's a vintage dealer being in with the modern, and maybe that dealer didn't get this, that, and the other. You could say it's a little too corporate. You could say you can't do the autos and the shopping, whatever. But we're talking about like nearly a week long event here with like 100,000 people at it at a massively large location. And like, yeah, you could say something about the trade nights and this and that and the other, but, And then Fanatics coming in is making the hobby better. Like, it's making the hobby better. And I can elaborate that on that in the future. But Fanatics, rather than go out and start their own National and compete with the National, is a smart business. For them to buy the National and make it better makes sense for Fanatics, the National, and us, because it's going to make the National better. Fanatics has the infrastructure to be able to implement all of these improvements that us hobbyists want. And so, breaking news, call it what you want. It's not breaking news because it hasn't been announced. But let's say it this way. My sources tell me that Fanatics is going to buy the National. I'm not surprised. And, leave a comment below. Let me know what you think. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening to this episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show. I want to know, have you ever been starstruck by a card? I want to know, what do you think? Fanatics buying the National? Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.